eyes glittering at the sprawled man. To Ryan's right, there was more movement, and he saw a black man, a good 7 feet tall, naked apart from a loincloth and a feathered headdress, heading toward him with a vicious stabbing spear in his hand.
No!
Too late. The view of the others had been slightly obstructed by the bushes, and they hadn't had that extra fraction of a drawn second to see what Ryan had been able to see. So they all opened fire at both the menacing creature and the man with the spear before Ryan could yell his warning to them. All of them except Doc Tanner, who dropped his heavy Lama in the long grass as he dove forward. The results of all that firepower were completely devastating and surprising. The head of the creature, including the long horn, was blown apart into a mass of tangled wires, small wheels, and torn fiberglass. The native with the spear toppled forward, revealing that he had no legs, but was balanced on two short metal struts. His chest and head exploded into optic threads, multicolored cables, and comp panels. The electronic card had shorted out some of the relays in a shower of fizzing sparks and triggered a hidden loop tape.
Looks like we better steer clear of shore. That rhino's got a mean horn waiting for us, and the Zulu warrior could spear us with his assegai before you say jungle adventures. Watch it, folks!
What the hell?
Everyone stood up, looking at the two destroyed mechanical creatures. The cog still whirred around in the stump of the animal's skull, and the tumbled native was trying to wield his short spear, the point digging a furrow in the grass. The burst of gunfire didn't seem to have attracted anyone's attention. The trees and bushes were still and quiet, the water beyond drifting by on its own tranquil way. Ryan looked at the others.
Tried to warn you not to open fire.
You see they were some kind of droid?
Yeah. Paint's peeling off the black guy, and one eye was falling out of the rhino's head. Is that what a rhino looks like? I read about them. Never seen one. Big mother, I guess.
What is this?
You replace the shots fired, son? If not, do it.
Sure, but what?
I think we might be in something called a theme park, Dean.
A what?
It was an amusement park with rides and attractions. A lot of fun for kids during my day.
And some adults, too.
Wish I'd been alive to go to one.
Then you'd be dead now.
Ryan.
Ryan looked around.
Should move. Don't know who might have heard all that.
Trees will muffle it. No wind to carry it.
Dean, you definitely would have loved the roller coasters. They just whipped you around this track. Up, down, upside down.
Damn.
The overgrown remains of a winding path ran alongside the water, which turned out to be a shallow river, no more than 15 feet wide, its surface rainbowed and oily. They passed rotting blocks of lightweight plastic that looked as if they had once been some sort of oriental temple. They spotted more droids that Ryan recognized as being elephants, and there was a dried-up waterfall with some kind of heavy machinery behind it.
Look! What a fearsome saurian!
If a saurian's a gator, Doc, then it isn't. Another of those models.
The trail wound on, leading them past other unlikely combinations of wild animals frozen for eternity. Lions with giraffes watching them, empty-eyed. Birds had pecked all the fake fur off the pride, and the weather had faded the patches on the coats of the giraffes to a muted gray. It was swelteringly hot. Ryan waved for a halt, wiping the streams of sweat off his cheeks, lifting the eye patch where the salt was irritating the raw socket. A tiger was lying on its side a few yards ahead of them, its legs stiff and helpless, little metal wheels rusting in each paw. Beyond it was a line of ducks, caught in mid-waddle and decreasing sizes.
People paid to come see this, Mildred? Double dull.
It wasn't exactly like you see it now. There'd be noises, movement and stuff, and this would be only a small part of the place. Probably lots of other rides and entertainment. My father brought me to Magic Mountain when I was only...
The memory was suddenly so strong that she almost choked on it.
There was popcorn and pinyon pine.
Dean had finally reloaded his Smith & Wesson and tucked it into its holster. He left the others and walked a few paces around the next bend, calling back to them.
Hey! There's a shit-evil snake here! Looks as real as life and has bright colors. Big as a subway tunnel back in the Ville!
Wait for the rest of us.
Sure, Dad, but it...
The sentence stopped dead, as though someone had swung a huge machete and sliced the boy into a fourth dimension.
Dean!
Oh, Gaia, quick!
Christy started to move, but Ryan was a clear 2 yards ahead of anyone. He sprinted around the corner, nearly stumbling into the river, where a part of the bank had subsided. His blaster was cocked and ready. Ryan came to a sliding halt, holding up his hand to stop the others.
Wait!
He holstered the Sig Sauer. This wasn't one for a pistol. Unlike the rhino, the lions, and the rest of the creatures, the snake wasn't an electronic android creation of the workshop. This snake was real. Its overlapping scales shone with a coppery iridescent gleam. It was impossible to guess at its true length, as much of it was coiled out of sight around a massive baobab tree. But there was enough to see that it was a mutated giant. The head was blunt like a great chisel and tapered to the narrow, lipless mouth, which was half open to reveal the scarlet forked tongue. It flicked in and out, tasting the air currents around it, the creature's small reptilian brain interpreting the messages and judging safety or the threat of danger. The body just behind the head was the thickness of a muscular man's forearm, widening until it was bigger than a weightlifter's chest. And held within the twining coils, his feet a yard from the ground, was Dean Cotter. The boy wasn't struggling, realizing the utter futility of trying to pit his puny strength against the monster python. One coil was around his ankles, another about his upper chest, pinning his arms down to his sides. Ryan noticed the .22 caliber blaster lying in the grass, showing that the boy had come close to saving himself. Dean's face was suffused with blood, eyes protruding with the pressure around his body. The snake was slowly suffocating him.
Poisonous? I don't think so.
The beast must have escaped from a zoo or park or something. It's a boa constrictor. South American. Indian. Can't tell. It kills its prey by crushing it. Then it devours it slowly and...
Enough, Doc.
The snake's head was weaving hypnotically, backward and forward, close by his son's face, making any attempt at a shot incredibly hazardous. And to put bullets into its body wasn't likely to kill it outright. The odds were that any wound like that would enrage the muty reptile and make it tighten its enormous length in a convulsive reaction, instantly squeezing the life from the helpless dangling boy. Ryan reached for the taped hilt of his panga, the 18-inch butcher's knife with a razored steel blade that ended in a sharp point. The weapon slid from its sheath in a whisper of sound.
Ryan.
Yeah, Christy, I know.
Dean was dying. The python was tightening its grip with an effortless, indifferent ease, paying its victim no more attention than a man crushing a worm under his heel. Ryan could see that his son was sliding into unconsciousness, his head lolling. Blood was trickling from beneath the boy's fingernails. Ryan's fist tightened around the hilt of the long knife.
Right, you son of a fucking bitch.
The snake ignored him, its shovel-shaped head moving from side to side, as though it could hear the distant beat of a different drum. Its eyes looked once at the approaching man, then through him and past him, dismissing him as no sort of menace.
Come on, come on, come on.
He shuffled in closer, pushing 1 foot forward, keeping his balance, his own eye fixed on the reptile's head. Ryan waved the panga around his head until the honed metal rang, the filtered sunlight dancing off the steel. Now he was within less than 3 good paces of the muty python.
Come on, come on.
The tongue darted out faster, and the head swayed more quickly, giving the first clue that the monster was becoming concerned at the possibility of a threat to itself. It seemed for a moment that it had also relaxed its crushing hold on Dean. The lad's face was no longer purple, and his tongue no longer protruded from his swollen lips. It was difficult to judge the right fraction of a second to strike. The snake was above him, in the foliage, but it was lowering its head, bringing Dean down with it, until the boy's feet actually scraped the wet grass. Ryan started to move his own head from side to side, copying every sinuous sway of the reptile, slowly at first, then faster and faster. The tiny eyes were fixed now on his face, the jaws open, the hissing louder. He could taste the python's breath on his skin, warm and sour, like rotted flesh. It had to be the moment when the head of the muty snake was far enough away from Dean.
Now!
Ryan's reflexes had been wetted by an infinity of firefights, but the snake was quicker. The edge of the panga nicked the skin at the side of the snake's head, drawing a tiny worm of dark blood. But the reptile was dazzlingly fast. It dodged the singing steel and struck at Ryan's head. If it had been accurate, the power of the blow would probably have killed the man. But the effort of evading the cutting blow took away part of the effect of the python's counterattack.